Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host,
Vince in the Bay.
Hi there, honey. I'm number one.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Gay or what?
One, two. Thank you.
two, check, check. Check, check, 1, 2, hey, hey. Check, 1, 2, hey, hey, hey. It's Vince in the motherfucking bay. Aw, yeah. It's once again another a time for yet another edition of Disorderly Conduct. It's Manic Monday, October 7th, 2013. I'm Vince in the Bay, your audio erotic host for the next 2 hours. Very excited about tonight's program. I will be joined by two lovely ladies who are known for their work as prison support activists. I'm talking about Sue Crabtree, a.k.a. Free Hammond online. She goes by Free underscore Hammond on Twitter. And I will also be joined by All Shiny, who has been on the show before. She blogs for Suicide Girls. She's a writer. She's an activist. And I had her on here a couple weeks ago talking about Mark Miggs Neweem. We'll just call him Miggs. How about that? Miggs of the NATO 5. So she's back tonight to talk more about Miggs. And we have Sue on tonight to talk about Jeremy Hammond. There's currently a letter campaign to provide letters of support for Jeremy prior to his sentencing, which will be happening on November 15th. Hammond has accepted a plea deal with a statutory maximum of 10 years. As a part of his deal, Hammond admitted in his role in 8 hacks beyond the one count of violation under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. These admissions will be used by the federal government to aid them in adding points to his sentence, his offense level, and increase his sentencing. And there's, of course, a campaign, which I spoke about last night. I read from the Pastebin last night. There's currently a campaign in motion that is urgently seeking to send the court letters asking for leniency in the sentencing of Jeremy Hammond. Letters must be mailed or faxed so they arrive by October 15th. And I believe Sue will be here in a little bit to fill us in on that. And then, of course, All Shiny will be here to give us an update on Miggs. Miggs, of course, is an activist currently serving time in Cook County Jail after pleading guilty to attempting to purchase materials to make a pipe bomb around the time of the NATO summit in Chicago. Miggs is set to be released in a few months but not after recently being put in solitary confinement for nearly 2 years for possession of anarchist symbols. And yeah, so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to start things off with Sue first, and then we'll bring on All Shiny, and then we'll take your calls as well and talk about these two gentlemen and their situations. I also think it's interesting to have these two paired up on this as subjects on the same show, considering they're both out of Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. And I believe they were both probably part of Occupy Chicago. So we'll get confirmation from this later, but I guess it's a possibility that these two folks cross paths. So I think it's an interesting pairing. I think it makes more sense than because both of these guys are sort of self-ascribed anarchists, I guess. And Yeah. So I'm excited to chit-chat about this stuff. It's going to be cool. I'm excited to talk to Sue for the first time and stoked to have All Shiny back. She's going to, and really looking forward to her update on Migs and what the hell's going on with him. So, with that in mind, I'm going to take a quick little brickety break here and play a track from Jeremy Hammond's brother. Jeremy Hammond's brother goes by the name of Jason Hammond, I believe. And Jason just recently got arrested for some activist-related shit, too, I think. But I don't think he's in jail. But anyway, both these kids, brothers, talented individuals. They, you know, they're activists, they're computer nerds, they, you know, whatever. They're musicians too. And Jason Hammond has a track out there. I believe it's dedicated to his brother. I don't know. At least it's being put out there as, I don't know, as something to listen to in memory of or solidarity with Jeremy Hammond. So whatever, without further ado, here is Jason Hammond doing a track entitled Bella Ciao. I'll be right back.
Got it.
Check 1, 2, 2, 2.
You're tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay.
Let's stop hating in the Bay. Here's my CD, by the way. In your deck, press play. Hear what I gotta say. Stop hating in the Bay. Here's my CD, by the way. In your deck, press play. Hear what I gotta say. Stop hating in the Bay.
Call in now, biatches. 347-826-7667. And now your host, Vince in the Bay.
Hear what I gotta say. Stop hating in the Bay. Here's my CD, by the way. In your deck,
press
play.
Hear what I gotta say.
Stop hating in the Bay.
Here's my CD, by the way. In your deck, press play. Hear what I gotta say.
Stop hating in the Bay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You already know what it is. It's Vince in the Bay back with you, and very happy to welcome my guest, Sue Crabtree. But before I do that, I want to do a really quick big ups to all my early chit chatters. Thank you, everybody, for joining the show so early. This is great. Also, don't be shy. Tweet and retweet the show. It's real easy to do. You can either go retweet my my latest tweet on Twitter, which is twitter.com/VinceInTheBay. Or if you're in the on the page, their show page there, you just click on one of those Twitter buttons, or you're on Facebook, whatever. Click on those the appropriate social media icons and spread the love, spread the word. We're going to be talking about Jeremy Hammond and Migs of the NATO 5 tonight. All right, so quickly, down the list, Absalom, Actions, ANCAP Dialect, Canadian Glenn, Catty Idiot, David Crabtree, Guest, that would be as in GU357, Guest. Speaking of guests, we have several guest listeners. Okay, my computer's taking a poop on me. God damn it. Is somebody hacking my switchboard? It's probably those ninjas. Okay. Homer Bouvier. Thank you for joining me, sir, former Blog Talk Radio host. Technological Viking at the house. Thank you. Actually, those two gentlemen right there represent participants in my United Front against the ninjas. We have recruited in our campaign to neutralize the ninjas on the internet. I have formed a coalition of the willing. And as you know, the bronies via Homer Bouvier and the Vikings via Technological Viking have both signed on to the coalition of the willing in our quest to tame these little bastards. The ninjas keep popping up every day. Our latest report says that there are 2.3 ninjas created per day. Okay, so think about that. It's a problem that needs to stop now before it gets out of hand. And I thank Homer and Viking for lending their support. And last but not least, the man, the myth, the legend, Vert. What up, Vert? So it's cybercrime radio time. Time to talk about the latest. Again, last night I mentioned on this show, I read part of a pastebin for a letter campaign that is underway. This campaign campaign seeks to send the court letters asking for leniency against Jeremy Hammond, and letters must be mailed or faxed by October 15th. And there you go. Well, I'll probably repeat that again over 9,000 times tonight before it's all said and done. Okay, I got some serious lag time on my switchboard here. That's kind of that's disheartening. It don't
9,000? There's no way that could be right!
Okay, having some okay, hello, test, 1, 2. Having some technical issues. Let's go to let's just stop messing around. Let's go straight to the board and bring on our guest tonight, Sue from Sue Crabtree from Free Hammond. Welcome, Sue.
Welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Thanks for being here. So give us a quick little Reader's Digest background on you and what you're doing with, and then of course tell us what you're doing with the free with supporting Jeremy Hammond, and then tell us about this writing campaign.
Well, we've been at supporting Jeremy since shortly after he was arrested. We have a Facebook page for him for anybody who uses Facebook. It's Free Jeremy Hammond Support Network, and as you know, we have the Free_Hammond Twitter page. So we've got those things going, and they've been going for nearly a year and a half now, trying to gather some support for Jeremy. And as everyone knows, he's accepted this non-cooperating plea deal, which could result in 10 years in prison. And his attorneys had requested that we start a letter campaign asking the judge for leniency for Jeremy. So that's what we're in, sort of in the middle of at this moment, with a short deadline of October the 15th to get all of these letters requesting that the judge consider leniency for Jeremy. In a perfect world, we'd like to see him with time served and sent home to all of us, but I'm not really sure that's going to work with her. I'm quite sure it's not. So just letters requesting, you know, leniency of some sort for Jeremy is where we're at right now, and we're really in dire need of those letters.
Yeah, absolutely. And can you tell us right now, again, where we can go to submit these letters? Some people are slacktivists or even barely that. Is there a site where they can get, like, pre-filled out shit that they can just copy pasta and then send off?
You know, Jay Lederman on his blog, it's jlederman.blogspot.com, he did write a whole template for how the letters should be addressed. There's also a spot on freejeremy.net that tells people how they can write those letters. They can be emailed to, they can be scanned and emailed to the lawyers. They can be faxed to the lawyers. They can be mailed. And all the addresses for and how to send those are on freejeremy.net and on Jay Lederman's blog. So there, the template is there. It's just a matter of copying the template, you know, pasting it onto your own letter, putting in the reason why you feel that he deserves some leniency, you know, signing it, scanning it, email it, fax it, send it by regular mail. The addresses are there, and it's really not as hard. We do have a lot of slacktivists because this gentleman, we've been battling for support for Jeremy. He's been in jail almost a year and a half, and we, at this present moment, have 31 letters for him. That's all. That seems a little ridiculous to me.
Yeah, 31 absolutely. Letters? Yeah, we need to do all we can, do like a, what do they call them, Twitter storms or something like that?
I don't know what we call them, but we better get some letters from those
well,
activists
the quickest,
to speak
right?
about.
Wouldn't email be the quickest? Can you email?
Yes, you certainly can email. Right on jeremy.net.
We're like a week out.
Yeah, we're like a week out.
Yeah, send
we were given relatively short notice. The the attorneys had put in a request for a delay of Jeremy's sentencing, and it was denied by the courts. So that was recently denied, and we're kind of in a hurry to get them. We were hoping for a delay. It didn't happen, so this came about very quickly.
Right. Man. So, okay. Now, this is my theory. I think that Jeremy is probably going to end up with about 4 years, no matter how many letters he gets or not, to be honest. I think it's just the letters. I think the letters will help to a certain extent, no matter how many there are. I think it'd be great. The more the merrier. I think Jeremy is a very talented individual. I honestly think he deserves to be punished for his crimes. He has done this previous, and he's been known, and it's pretty obvious that he's going to keep doing his activism the second he gets out, which is fine, which I admire him for. He's doing nonviolent civil disobedience. Anybody who's got the balls to dedicate their life to that, you know, I have respect. Just on that basis alone. But I just wish that he could somehow harness his brilliance and do it through some means where he doesn't have to end up in jail every couple of years.
I think a lot of us would hope for that. But, you know, yeah, there's a lot of things in the way of activism that Jeremy has done and is known to do in his community in Chicago, in the way of food not bombs, in the way of teaching music to children, you know, in different communities. There are so many things that he has done in the way of activism within his community, done great things for his community, that it's sad that he's known just for his computer savvy. And that isn't the only type of activism that Jeremy partakes in.
Yeah.
And to know him and to know what a kind, funny, wonderful person he is really... A lot of people don't see that. They see him as this hacktivist. He hacked Stratfor, and there's that. But there are so many other parts of Jeremy, and with any luck, he will get 4 years. I'll be happy if he gets 4 years. And if we could just include the year and a half of time served, I'd be really happy. But because of his previous arrest, because of the severity of this crime, and because Jeremy refuses to cooperate in any way, our fear is he's not going to get any less than 10 years. And I've heard a lot of talk about these letters that, well, I don't really think they're going to help at all, and that may be true, and in some respects I believe that too, but one thing I do know is no letters aren't going to be of any help. So
exactly. And it's really not that hard to do. It really
is. No, it's a few minutes of time. And that's all we're asking for, is just a few minutes of time to...
Of course, you realize that his community, a lot of his support come from people who are anonymous, little a, as well. So they don't want to attach their name to anything. So
I do know. And Jay Lederman was great about that, because if you go on Jay's blog, he has provided his Jabber. If someone is willing to use that, Jay will print those emails and mail them so that there's no data left on them, any tracing. And, of course, we'd love to have people's names on them, but we understand that Jeremy's supporters, you know, do love their anonymity. And so with that in mind, if people chose to send it to an attorney and he were to print it and mail that so that there were nothing left on that, that is a way they could do it, just to say they at least supported him. Whether the judge will accept it without a name, I don't know. But we're also hoping that Jeremy gets to see the letters and see that there is support out there for him and they do support him. And so I'm not sure whether the judge will accept them without the name. We've asked, and the answer is we just don't know. They may. But there is that option of sending them through Jay's Jabber, and he does put that address in his blog so that people can send them that way.
Right on. Vert in the chat room says, Jay knows how to jabber. Hope Barrett Brown didn't teach him.
Jeremy taught him.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
I hope so. Did you know Jeremy prior to this conviction?
I did.
Set of convictions? Yeah?
I did. I knew Jeremy since 2005. My son and he were friends, and they lived together and that sort of thing. At one time, they even managed to get arrested together. So, yeah, I did. And when he was arrested, honest, Vince, if you could know what a great person he is, you'd understand the effort that we've put into this is, it's deserved. It's well deserved.
Yeah, I've he's just come onto my radar in the time that he, the last, what, last year and a half, 2 years or whatever that he's been, since he's been, the charges came against him and he was outed. So of course, I've had time to now go back and look at old YouTube videos of him talking at, hacker conferences and other stuff. And he seemed like a pretty bright kid. Pretty idealistic and motivated and just, seemed like the kind of person that I would imagine if you met him, he was always like in the middle of doing something or was on his way to do something or was always doing something. I mean, he was doing, obviously he was doing music, he was doing activism, he was doing online stuff, he was just kind of all over the place.
He is, and he's the greatest kid, and because he was friends with my son, obviously I'm much older than him, and we were fascinated when Jeremy would come by and sit and talk to my husband and I. It's like, I'm really not sure that what Jeremy's idea, how the country would run this way, but, after you listen to him for a while, you go, I wish things would run that way. I wish that we could all live in a perfect society like that. But Jeremy fights against racism. He fights against hatred. He fights against everything that he believes is wrong. He stands up for everything and just is kind and is good to anyone he's ever met. You'll never hear anyone say an unkind thing about him. He's just, he doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk every day. So this is someone I think a lot of people, especially in the community of Chicago, should support him. He has supported his community for years. And it's kind of disheartening to speak to the lawyers and find out we have 31 letters when we should have, thousands of letters in support of course, not jailing someone for 10 years of their life for a nonviolent crime. Murderers, rapists, they get out in a lot less time than that. Drunk drivers, you name it. They're all out in less time than that. So, we have an issue with the amount of time. And I know a lot of people are like you. They think, well, he should deserve some punishment. Well, he's been punished for a year and a half. And at the rate we're going, he'll be punished for a decade of his life for civil disobedience. The punishment doesn't seem to fit the crime.
Yeah, that's the way it always feels like with a lot of these cyber crime cases. And in the case of Barrett Brown, he didn't even do anything.
Barrett's case is a nightmare.
I know. It's just unreal. He is the most blatant. If anybody is an example of a blatant political prisoner, it's him, I think. It's just
Barrett,
ridiculous.
Poor Barrett does not belong in jail. I've heard a lot of people say, well, the YouTube rant, threatening police. You know what? They need to remember that he is not in jail for that. He is in jail for sharing a link. Sharing, not making the link himself, for sharing a link that was already out there. He does not belong in jail. It's ridiculous. And I don't know how many people, I for one, have shared links without even knowing what they are, just seeing, oh, it came from a friend, and share a link. We can all end up in jail for that. Barrett's case sets a horrible precedent if he is found guilty.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think he will be found guilty, probably. But I think he should go through trial. I think it would be awesome. It would be interesting who gets called to the stand in that. But yeah.
He has a gag order to prevent anyone from speaking in the press directly about his case. And that, you know, poor Barrett is just, I think they're doing anything they can to quiet Barrett. He has wonderful lawyers that are working very hard for him. But that this case is, this is as dumb as it gets right there, is Barrett's case.
Yeah.
But, you know, the government is anxious to shut up anyone they can. And they'll start with Barrett. They don't care. A journalist.
So how's, if you don't mind me asking, your son who's friends with Jeremy, how's he doing right now? How's he taking this, and what's he doing about it?
What is my son doing about it?
Yeah.
Well, my son helps share information about Jeremy. He spends a lot of time talking about Jeremy. He was up in Chicago not very long ago to meet with some friends about Jeremy and his case. He works with us to get letters out. He does all sorts of things like that, writes to Jeremy, they communicate that way, that sort of thing. And we will be up there in November to show our support for Jeremy. He loves to see his friends in court. He tries to behave very well, and mm-hmm. but he does love to see the friendly faces and, you know, faces of people he knows other than reporters and anybody else who happens to show up that is there strictly for their own, you know, reporting needs, et cetera. He's happy mm-hmm. to see his friends there. The judge is never happy. We don't dress appropriately for court. But, hey, it is what it is. He's happy, and we all look like him.
And so you've been at most of the proceedings, what, in New York?
Yes.
So what's your take on this judge?
Oh, I was afraid you were going to ask me that. And I really try to be on my best behavior when it comes to that very question. But the fact is, I was there in November when they had the bail hearing, and I heard the judge say that Jeremy was worse than an online sex offender because he used Tor. And
oh, my God.
Did
she
some of the
know
most
Tor
horrific
is.
Things. She said that he couldn't be allowed out on bail because he could walk into an online coffee shop and hack credit cards while he was in there. Like, this is something that you could just wander down the street and hack credit cards. It was horrible. It was Jeremy felt terrible. I watched him just start to slouch down in his chair. He had these great hopes that he would at least get bail. There was an attorney known to the courts who was going to let Jeremy stay with him. And he was going to wear an ankle monitoring device. None of it was possible, and, you know, that he would walk into a cyber cafe and hack credit cards. Jeremy has never had any interest in credit cards. His interest was in what Stratfor was up to, and let's not forget that that was all coordinated by the FBI. That is not something that I just randomly say. It's a proven fact. It's not arguable. The FBI arranged it. So he wasn't in it for credit cards and for any financial gain. He has never had any financial gain from any of this. And so for the judge to say that, the defense attorneys said, well, he's never done that before. And she said, well, he could. Well, that was hardly the point. And he was denied bail very quickly. And so it was really sad. And, yeah, I've been to several of those hearings, and they're really sad, but I think for the most part that was the worst one, worse than an online sex offender because you used Tor.
Jesus Christ. That shows you how out of touch these judges are. I myself am technically a victim of the CFAA myself. I was convicted. I pled guilty to one misdemeanor of, what do they call it? Unauthorized access to a protected computer. It's the sentencing guidelines that are attributed are to these type of crimes are just redonkulous. I was lucky because I was a first time offender. I did a very low level thing. I didn't cause much damage. I honestly didn't even know what I was doing, and they realized it, and it was a petty, stupid white collar crime, whatever, nonviolent crime. And when I was at my sentencing, I was actually in a Bay Area court, which is the heart of Silicon Valley, which is where the tech industry is. You know, you would think if any judges were hip to technology and cybercrime, you'd think it'd be in the Bay Area, right? You know, right in the heart of Silicon Valley, San Jose's district court. The same judge that was originally on the docket for the PayPal 14, when I was given my chance to say my piece before they concluded, I kind of talked about what I did. I made the mistake of talking. I should have just said peace out. But I decided to, because I felt like I was unjust. Like, I was like, come on, dude, this doesn't feel like I felt like I was being slapped on the wrist a little bit too hard. Like, I think it was harsh. I honestly didn't feel like it was a crime when I did it, and I understand it better now, but whatever. I don't want this to be about me. The whole thing is that the judge, when I just mentioned FTP, like a file transfer protocol, saying those words, talking about it, looking at, he gave me the look in his eyes was priceless to me. Because he looked like a deer in headlights. He's like, I have no idea what FTP means. I could just see it in his face. And I the same thing with the prosecutors. They didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. It was obvious. And I think this judicial system is really lagging behind the times. And prosecutors are taking advantage of an ancient law, really. The CFAA came out, what, 86 or something? Like, this is an old law that was meant to punish people who broke into computer systems. Back then, computer systems were only run by the government, and that was it. So computer networks were only the government, so no shit, it was going to be a hard slap on the wrist for that. But times have changed. Now people have their own private networks and stuff. You know, it's a whole different ballgame now, and I think the legal system is slowly catching up, because you see it even with just like Manning. You know, at one point Manning was going to get death, right? Everybody's saying, oh my God, I think he's going to, if he's lucky, he'll get life. Dude, he's going to be out of prison in less than 10 years. When it's all said and done, he did it. He himself, white collar crime, nonviolent crime, civil disobedience, or in that case, I guess, military disobedience, whatever. Subversion, whatever the fuck it is, but you know, I think once these prosecutors and judges look at the facts and are fed everything with a little silver spoon, I think they kind of realize that, okay, all right, these kids aren't doing that big of a thing. I mean, yeah, they're definitely doing something bad, but they're like idealistic. They don't know any better. They should just, you know. You honestly, it's like whatever, loitering in a park. It should be like a citation, you know. And I think they're slowly getting to that, but they're trying. But I still feel like it's off balance. I mean, am I making any sense here?
You are. However, this particular judge is about as hardcore a Republican conservative as you have ever seen. She was put in office as a federal judge by the first President Bush. She was nominated to be a Supreme Court judge by George W. Bush, and that was declined. This judge is well known for just some of the craziest things you've ever seen. If you've never heard of the case of Susan Lindauer, Judge Preska was her judge as well, and as I read that book, and Susan's book, and understood where this judge was coming from, it was evident when I was in court that this judge, I mean, I've never seen such hateful behavior. I really believe, and so did everyone in court, that she hates Jeremy. She hates what he stands for. He believes that our government should feed the people. She probably, and I'm just saying this, my own opinion, could care less about the homeless. Jeremy cares very much about them. They have completely opposite views, and she doesn't like his views one bit. And she will use that against him. And she used it against Susan Lindauer, and we're seeing the whole same thing again. And if you do a search of Loretta Preska, you could find many cases, not involving hacking, but of cases that you wonder how on earth these sentences that she's handed down were ever allowed to be handed down. And people just complaining about what a hateful woman she is. And I know this is not something I should be saying before his trial, before his sentencing, but it is my opinion. It is concerning. And, I mean, she just really has no regard for Jeremy, his future, and maybe she shouldn't. But calling him worse than an online sex offender, a totally nonviolent person, that hurt him more than anything she could have said was that.
And this is the same woman. This is the same woman who's presiding over Hector's case. Am I not right?
It is the same woman. It's also the same woman whose own husband had an email account with Stratfor.
Exactly. Not only that, she's got a conflict of interest, and she's calling Jeremy worse than a pedophile or something?
An online sex offender.
Yeah, online sex offender. So that means, if you think about it logically, that means Hector is in the same category. Am I not right? And
Hector belongs to the FBI, so I guess what he did is okay, and he's allowed to stay out and continue to snitch and turn people in, and we know that. Every time Hector gets a stay and isn't put in jail to serve his time, someone else gets arrested, and it relates right back to him. So he's allowed to continue to do that, and that is okay, although his crimes were all with a financial interest, a personal financial interest, always. He is the one who is a danger to the public, not Jeremy Hammond.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Honestly, though, I don't think Hector was as skilled as he was hyped up to be. I think he was a great social engineer-er. You know, he was good at getting people to do stuff for him. No wonder he was a great asset for the FBI. I believe that he burned Jeremy the hardest out of all the folks that he allegedly snitched on. I feel the worst for Jeremy. I think Jeremy he and the FBI knew that Jeremy wanted to hit something like Stratfor, and they let him straight into it, and it's just, it kind of reminds me of like Brandon Darby. Do you know Brandon Darby?
Sure.
Yeah. So like, I think when it's all said and done, Hector's going to be another Brandon Darby.
Well, like, you see, Stratfor meant something to Jeremy. It really did. That whole thing meant something to Jeremy. It meant nothing to anyone else. They were pointed in that direction by the FBI. It's another indisputable fact that the information was Hector tried to sell that information to WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks refused. Jeremy said, I was never in this to sell anything. The information was turned over to WikiLeaks. One has to wonder, are we trying to get WikiLeaks espionage by buying that information? Who knows?
Yeah.
The whole thing...
Yeah.
Was manipulated by the federal government, and now Jeremy, you know, everyone else, Jeremy's co-defendants, have either served their time and they're out of jail, or they'll be out of jail very soon.
Yeah.
Jeremy will be in there for a decade.
I don't think it's going to be a decade. I'll bet you on that. I'll bet you $5 it's not going to be a decade.
Well, I'm hoping you're right, but if you could know this judge the way we've all known her... It's truly terrifying to see that she is presiding over this. She's got clear conflicts of interest, and she decided she wasn't going to recuse herself, and so I guess that's that. She decided if her husband lied, and denied having an account with Stratford, though it was proven that he did. She decides whether her husband lies. She decides whether she recuses herself. And that is the way our system works. That is not fair. That's all we're saying. And I know I've seen a lot of tweets where people have said, well, you know, he did this, he should be punished. We get that. We're not arguing that, but we are saying that does it deserve 10 years in prison? No, I don't think that it does. You know, that's the hard part.
Yeah. Once again, if you're joining us, it's Vince in the Bay here with my guest tonight, Sue Crabtree of Free Hammond. She goes by Free_Hammond on Twitter. She's helping galvanize a letter campaign to provide letters of support for Jeremy Hammond prior to his sentencing that's due in November. And these letters have to be in by October 15th. So you probably are going to have to email them at this point unless you write them off real quick. But I think we're going to take another break here. Before we do, Sue, would you mind giving us that information one more time?
No, not at all. You could find the information about how to write those letters, email them, fax them on freejeremy.net. jlederman.blogspot.com also has Jay's put information up about with a template and also how to email or fax or send them by mail. So the information is in both places, and any help with that would be fantastic. We really do need those letters. Like I said, they may not be beneficial. I've heard people say they won't, but doing nothing will definitely not be beneficial.
We're gonna go to a break here in a second. Now Jeremy had a ska band with his brother, right?
With his twin brother Jason. Yes, it's his twin.
Yeah. What's the name of it?
You just caught me right off guard with that.
Somebody tell, you know who knows?
Is All Shiny.
All Shiny knows.
You did ask me if All Shiny and I's paths had ever crossed. I left Chicago some years ago, but because of the NATO kids and because of Jeremy Hammond, All Shiny and I don't know, she has just been a huge amount of support for me personally, for Jeremy. I don't know what we'd do without her. So I think I would definitely call her a friend. We've never met. Our paths have never crossed, but I hold her in the highest regard. I love that girl. So you could say we are definitely friends.
Okay, I figured out the band's name. They're called Dirty Surgeon Insurgency. Yeah. Yeah, no, when I had All Shiny on the show last time, we talked a lot about Jeremy, and so I already have these songs, like the song you sent me, I already had. from that last show that I did with her, I have two Dirty Insurgency songs loaded up on here, and then that Bella Chow thing.
Well, Chow song Jason did, that's Jason playing the banjo.
Right.
And that was that Jason recorded that specifically for a CD that the Hammond Support Network and Free Anons together put together, a compilation CD to raise money for Jeremy and for Free Anons, and it's called Hear Us Now. And it's a benefit CD, and we also have art that was drawn by a prisoner who is in jail with Jeremy. The art, he did the artwork, a beautiful poster, it's incredible, and that was printed up and was sold with the compilation CD, and it's really incredible art that was done with pencils and crayons, but it's beautiful art. So, yeah, that came off of the Hear Us Now CD. I'm sorry some didn't like it, and by the way, the person who said they couldn't jack off to it, I'm grateful. I didn't need that visual.
Nice.
Sorry.
Cool. Well, I think we're going to take a break and get ready to bring on All Shiny. I think she's waiting in the wings. I'm going to go check and look in the green room and see if she's in there. And I'll be back with her and Sue, and we'll talk about we'll continue to talk about Jeremy Hammond, and we'll also talk about Mark, I can't even say his last name, Nguyen, a.k.a. Miggs, from the NATO 5. And so without any further ado, I think this song is appropriate for the transition. This is Jeremy's band called Dirty Surgeon Insurgency doing a track called NATO. We'll be right back.
Conduct with your host Vince in the Bay.
Don't quit your day job.
Mentre la multinazionale Thomson si è impadronita di tutti I brevetti della DPL e la ricerca ufficiale sembra si sia concentrata su applicazioni industriali di scarso interesse sociale e comunicativo, il sogno dei pionieri delle realtà virtuali perché queste siano condivise da più persone ed economicamente accessibili a tutti sembra allontanarsi. Ma la sperimentazione indipendente non si è fermata e oggi, grazie ad alcuni geniali creativi, è possibile accedere a dei sistemi di realtà virtuale a basso costo e condivisibili. Parliamo di Rentro 8.6, un segnale in gran costo.
Finish him!
Top fighters are really something else.
Flawless victory. Friendship.
Call in now, biatches. 347-826-7667. And now your host, Vince in the Bay.
What up, Philly Negro?
Whoops, and unmuted. Welcome back, everybody. We're back. It's Vince here with you. Thank you again for tuning in. We are now into our second hour of broadcasting. And thank you, everybody in the chat room, for alerting me that I was muted and to unmute myself. Thanks. I got it now, guys. Everything's under control. Appreciate it. Oh. So what's up, people in the chat room? We have Absalom. What up, Absalom? Actions. AnCamp Dialect. Billy Ray Bob in the house. Brazen Queen. COG in the house. Also, Canadian Glenn. What's up, Canadian Glenn? Eternal Jimmies of the Spotless Russells is in the chat room. Also, several guest listeners. Homer Bouvier. It's Radio, or ITS Radio, one or the other. Jay Geronimo, what up? Johnny Panics in the house. Also, Org 9 in the building. Hello, Org 9. Spyco in the building. What's up, Spyco? Good to see you there, bro. Thanks for listening. Technological Viking. Hello, Technological Viking. He's been here the entire time. I think he had firsties in the chat room. We also have Vert. What up? My homie Vert in the building. Vert, oh man, that was such a great talk we had the other night. We went into overtime randomly. It was just Vert, Hammurabi, myself, and then Shmoop popped up. We had a great talk. That was cool. Good times. Good times. And last but not least, Zanzas. Right on, people. Thank you for joining the broadcast. Oh, I got to do a little bit of chat room maintenance here before I bring on All Shiny, it appears. Let me just take out the trash here for a second. Give out some 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes to actions. Actions. Cancel. Wait, hang on. Actions, 2 minutes for scrolling in the chat room. 2 minutes. Okay. Anybody else while I'm here? Anybody else want to scroll while I'm looking at the chat room? Just let me know. Let's do it now. Okay. Anybody else? Any takers? Going once. Going twice. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. So. With that taken care of, oh my goodness, we can now finally. Oh wait, I got. Speaking of trash, let me take out this trash real quick. Before I bring on All Shiny, I'm going to bring on this caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, Vince. This is Jamie. At the end of the day, I want you to literally worship my pussy. If you don't worship my pussy at the end of the day, I will literally put my foot up your fucking ass. So you had better literally worship my pussy at the end of the day, or else, at the end of the day, you will literally be worshiping cock.
All right, 2 minutes. 2 minutes. In fact, you broke the rules so many times that you are now. Well, first of all, I'm gonna get your number. All right, screen capped your number. Now I'm going to boot your ass. Okay. All right. Oh, Org 9 wants a little piece. Okay, Org 9. So be it. Org 9. 2 minutes. 2 minutes, Org 9. Just try me, people. Just try me. 2 minutes, Org 9. For spamming some Yan mug shit. I don't want to know about that crap. Anyway, once my fucking Macintosh pinwheel of fun stops twirling, okay, here we go. Okay, whoever's out there hacksawing me while I'm trying to do this show, I don't care if you're ninjas. I don't care if you're bronies. I don't care if you're GNAA. I don't care what you are. Could you just quit it? Cut it out. We're trying to do a serious broadcast tonight. I know we goof around here a lot. You know, do I have silly programs? That's fine. This is not a silly program tonight, all right? Oh, man. All right, without any further ado, I'm going to bring on the lovely All Shiny. Hey, All Shiny.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the show.
It's going pretty well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing much better now that you're here.
Oh, come on. Stu is great.
Yeah, Sue's awesome. And Sue is still here, by the way. Welcome back, Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, babe. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear you.
Yeah, we don't actually talk by voice very often. We talk quite often by typing things at each other.
Oh, really? I have people I'm like that with.
We do a lot of that.
Yeah.
That's great. So a lot of your guys, the work that the two of you do overlap, obviously. When did you guys first come in contact?
It was over a year ago. I didn't start writing to Jeremy as soon as he was arrested. But shortly after NATO, when I started supporting the NATO guys, I was like, oh, right, I should be writing to Jeremy also. So it was probably like last summer that, you know, you find out who's running the network and start getting in touch. And obviously Jeremy was very concerned about the NATO arrests. He knows some of the guys and, you know, we're pretty sure that the timing of his arrest was also not coincidental in that it was a couple months before NATO, and he was definitely planning on being there. So,
and
it's
he
all
was
interrelated.
Now, did Miggs or any of the other NATO five? Do you think those guys ever cross paths with Jeremy?
Miggs and Jeremy are very good friends. Actually, they know each other quite well. They're both anarchists in Chicago. They run
yeah.
in the same circles.
So they're on the same scene. So they're aware of each other, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They ask me about each other all the time and say, send my love and all that. So
interesting. That's cool. It's kind of interesting how they both have sort of, they're kind of on the docket for the same type of, I don't know, it's almost like they're playing for the same team, but they got called for different fouls, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Miggs is not a hacker. That was never going to be what they picked him up for. But it's quite easy to, if you take a look at him, you know, he's got a lot of tattoos about anarchism and even some...
Oh, my God!
Brass
that
knuckles.
Picture of... That picture of him on my timeline, I think the only part of his body that isn't tattooed is his face, and that's the only thing you can see. And you can even see part of his neck is, like, blacked
out. Yeah, he has an Antifa neck tattoo and a red and black flag on one side. And the funny thing is he's acquired quite a few more since he's been incarcerated, and I didn't think there was room. But he's found it, and he said that he wants to get more done when he gets out, so... but, yeah, you know, he's the type that you could put his mugshot in the picture and say he was going to blow something up, and people will believe it just by how he looks.
Right. So have you been – so what's been new in his – have there been any new developments with him? I know he's getting closer to being free, but what's up with Miggs now?
Yeah, I think the last time I called, they were to do the show. They were still trying to decide what his punishment should be for being an anarchist in prison. Basically, they brought disciplinary violations against him for having anarchist symbols and anarchist literature, which, I mean, he has anarchist symbols tattooed over him.
I'm sorry, is there does free speech end when you enter the jail? Is that what happens?
Well, they're doing it under their gang intelligence unit, so they're basically saying that anarchism is a
So they
gang.
Found a loophole. They found a little
yeah,
loophole.
Yeah, they're saying he's trying to organize and recruit people to be anarchists, and that they're worried that, they're going to, you know, have some kind of anarchist insurrection or, you know, whatever it is. He's pretty far removed from having done anything that's actually a threat.
Honestly, I've seen most anarchists. I think you need to worry about the Norteños and the Chicanos. They're a little more vicious.
Yeah. Nothing that they actually said he did was actually a threat to anyone in the facility. It was basically having anarchist material and talking to one other anarchist in the prison. And they blew it into some huge conspiracy to, I don't know. But he never actually did anything, and he was supposed to be out in November, and he had no interest in, you know, making it longer than that. He just wanted to keep his head down and get out. So he wouldn't have tried starting trouble at that point. So they finally decided to keep him in solitary for 6 months and take away 3 months of his good time. So he would have been out in February instead of November. So that was actually, even that much was a lot better than we expected, and that's after we put a lot of pressure on them. But we kept putting pressure on them because even though basically the adjustment committee, which is an internal prison committee that had a hearing with him, they're the ones who decided on this punishment, but they couldn't actually revoke his good time. It had to go to an external prison review board. So we kept up the pressure in the hopes that he would not have to stay an extra 3 months. And, you know, with the result that he's only staying an extra month, he'll be out in December. And, you know, that was basically to save face for them, because otherwise they'd have to say, yeah, he didn't do anything wrong. So they're keeping him an extra month. He'll be in solitary the whole time, but we will get him back by the end of the year.
Excellent. So when he gets out, are there any sort of limitations on what he can say and where he can say it?
I mean, the trick is going to be that there are three defendants who are going to trial in January. So he's going to have to be careful. His case isn't directly related to them, but it was the same undercover officers who infiltrated the movement and implicated him as well as all the others. So, you know, it's going to be a little tricky until their case is resolved. But in general, like, he can definitely talk about his treatment at Cook County and at Pontiac, where he is now. And I believe, I mean, there's some civil lawsuits that could be filed, so.
Yeah, because I'd love to, you know, I it's funny. My show has, again, it's all about me. It's all about me and my show. I started this, what, 4 years ago? And I started this after I became a cyber criminal. I became a cyber criminal, and I showed up in a Reuters article about cybercrime, and you know, my name was thrown around with LulzSec and people who hacked Sony for $7 bazillion, you know, all kinds of crazy shit. So I love examining the species. I can't even say the word species. That is the cyber criminal. Since I now technically am one, over four years, I have now learned more about my fellow brothers and fellow victims of the CFAA. And shit, I forgot where I was going with this.
I'm not really sure either.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But yeah, man, I'm all about nonviolence. In Miggs's case, I don't know what the hell he was thinking. I don't even want to speculate.
I have some idea, but, you know, I'm not going to I don't actually know for sure, and I haven't asked him. But, I mean, what they got him for was attempted possession of explosives. And basically it amounted to him having written down a list at the urging of undercover officers of things you would need to build a pipe bomb. And then they said, well, meet us in this forest preserve and we'll see what we can do. And that's when he was arrested. So he, you know, there's no indication that he had a target, that he planned to use it, just that he got sucked in with undercovers. So, you know, I don't personally believe that he intended to be violent. I don't recommend writing lists of what you would need to create a bomb. I don't recommend that. But
also, you should tell him about what happened when Miggs was in solitary confinement at the Cook County Jail. I mean, that's been everywhere.
Yeah. She was on last time, and we touched on that quite a bit. But she can give us the scoop though. We've probably got listeners that weren't here last time. So if you want to rehash it, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, when he was being held here, he was pre-trial. You know, being held at the county jail, which it's not a small place. It's 10,000 prisoners. But he was, first of all, he was in, you know, maximum security. And, you know, there are people who are charged with actual violence who are not put in maximum. They put him in max. They interrogated him basically every day. They would toss his cell and pull him in and ask him questions and try to get him to turn on people. They moved him to the most violent deck. They called it Battle Royale, where they basically had gang wars every day. And there was a point, like, 2 or 3 months into his stay where 10 guards just beat him, put him in a hospital. After that, they kept him in solitary for 5 weeks, basically because then nobody could visit him and we could not see, like, how bad his wounds were. And the lawyers did make sure it was documented and they have pictures. But for 5 weeks, he was basically stuck in a hole, just having to recover by himself with no contact with the outside world. So, you know, and that was just 2 or 3 months into his stay, and he was there for a total of 11 months. So it was not a good time. And he had a very good case. He probably could have won a trial. But, you know, that's how plea deals happen, because you spend 11 months in a place like that and you get treated like that. And then they give you a pretty good deal where you'll be out in a few months and you say yes. So.
No doubt. Yeah, for sure. I pled guilty. I was like, fuck that. Like, I saw the exact, what was it, someone today, I got to find it. Somebody printed out a PDF or posted a PDF on Twitter today of that showed the bracketing for the sentencing guidelines, for federal sentencing guidelines.
Yeah.
I forget who was it. Was it in conjunction with Jeremy Hammond? Who was
it? It was an article that was written for Hammond.
Yeah, talk about that. What the hell they say? The article itself though was interesting. What were they talking about in that article?
They were talking about the sentencing guidelines, and for each thing that he pled guilty for, it drove it up to another level, and that increased the sentencing. And because his plea deal was non-cooperating, it would not reduce his sentencing by any. He could technically have like 5 years reduced off his sentence, but he refused. It was a whole guideline of how they get to this 10 years. And based on those guidelines, his time would be over 10 years. And of course, when he was originally arrested, he was facing something like 39 years to life. So when they make the sentence, when they threaten you with something like that, just like in Miggs' case, he was in horrible conditions, being threatened with possibility of years and years and years in jail, of course they're going to accept a plea deal. even if they feel they've done nothing wrong, they're going to accept it. Perhaps in your case as well, you accept a plea deal. You could possibly win in court, but maybe not. And that just happened with a Cleveland 4 kid who wanted his day in court and ended up with something like 10 years in jail because he didn't accept a plea deal. So he was punished harsher than the others who accepted plea deals. And that's the way the system works.
Yeah.
Accept the plea deal. Don't make us drag you into court. Don't make us have to pay for a trial. Even if you're innocent, accept that plea deal, or we're just going to go after you so viciously that you'll regret the day you ever decided to go to court.
Yeah, you have to be at the mercy
of
the court.
I would say the worst part of it also is I've been in court for a lot of these cases where they change their plea to guilty for some deal, and they ask you all these questions, and one of them is, were you coerced into changing your plea? And I always just want to stand up and say, of course they were. You know, that's how the system works.
Yeah. Okay, 347-826-7667 is the number if you want to call in and join us. Don't be shy. We're talking about Jeremy Hammond and Mark Miggs. How do you say his last name?
Nyweem.
Nyweem. That's pretty easy. It's almost essentially phonetic.
It's a lot of vowels. So
yeah.
No one's really sure how to pronounce
it. Hey, you know, I you know what? That's why, I grew up having people fuck up my name. I've heard so many different variants of my name. I just, honestly, in the Bay, works so much easier, to be honest.
Well, why do you think I'm all shiny?
I know. Yeah, so whatever. It is what it is. Let's take a call here. Here we go. On screen, caller from the 213 area code. You're on the air. Who's this? Hello, caller.
I want to talk about me. Want to talk about I. Want to talk about number one. Oh, my. What I think, what I like, what I know,
really?
What I want, what
holy
I see.
Crap.
Really?
I like talking about...
How do you ladies feel about country music?
Well, I live in the South. Enough said.
Okay.
But
so
that
doesn't
really... That was a little over the edge.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that call from the 213. I will log your number as well. And we'll keep move on down the line. Oh my God. All right. Okay. I'm gonna just try one more time. Okay, 213, I'm going to try one more time. Because sometimes these people will do a soundboard, and then I'll bring it back on, and they'll actually talk, which is kind of weird. So let's see if that happens. Let's give him a... Oh, he's gone. He hung up.
Aww.
And gosh, I wanted to talk more about me. Want to talk about I. Oh, good God.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said,
if
it's all
he wanted
about,
to do country,
all
he could have given
show.
Us some Willie Nelson or something.
Oh no! You know what they do? Here's what they do. My friend Ghost, who's from Texas, used to do. He was like my godfather here on BTR. He was like I think the best BTR show entertainer of all time. He used to talk to me like this.
Stupid San Francisco 1978 Abercrombie Fitch loving piece of nipple clamp loving butt plug up the ass looking hot dog licking your ass having dog humping squirrel fisting bastard.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
With all else fail.
Yeah. Oh, and so this guy was like major, you know, over the top, right wing, capitalist, anti communist, total right-wing nutcase taken to the extreme, but totally hysterical. Like in he's kind of like a Texas version of, I also want to say like a Texas internet version of Stephen Colbert. And people used to troll him so hard. It was fierce. He had to quit. He was going to seriously, I think, he was older. Sounds like he's in his 50s. Like pushing 60, and at a certain point it sounded like he was going to just have a heart attack, and thank God for him he quit. But they would play songs like this Like, he gets songs like this all the time.
Fuck you, Texas, and fuck you, Lone Star Band. Fuck that fucking Alamo.
Like, that was that. He would just get that all day long. He would do a 3-hour show. He would try to cover like real legitimate news, and all he would get were like 4chan kids that were like 14 years old trolling his ass off. And so, in light of him, the Lulz cow that he is, not being out there anymore, I kind of have absorbed some of that a bit, to a certain extent. But luckily, I never have gotten as bad as he has.
Y'all like, know Vince Kershaw from the
PayPal
14 kids.
Of course.
Well, if Vince is around, because I do see him tweeting on Twitter that he was listening to the show, we really should get him on here and try to sing us a country song or something. I bet he knows one, given the fact that he was watching the Denver Broncos play yesterday. I think he knows some country music.
Yeah.
We can get
he
a
was
Kershaw
just on the other day.
Solo.
There's no reason why he can't call in. He's in the chat room, too. So go ahead, call in, dude.
You know, I have to tell you that he's been a wonderful means of support. We do tiny chat letter writing events every 2 days since this Hammond letter thing came along. And Vince is there, you know, supporting everybody on and offering, you know, some help and support and advice. And even if it's just a smile and a wave, and he reminds me when I forget to turn off my mic. Very supportive. Right after I talk shit about him, more than likely.
Note to self, spend more time in tiny chat.
Oh, yeah.
Great support.
All right, folks, if you want to join us, we got a half hour to go. 347-826-7667 is the number. I already forgot. I'm such a scatterbrain. What's the name of Jeremy's band again?
Dirty Surgeon
Insurgency. You got that in stereo.
That was kind of hot too. I'll use that as a loop. give it to them. They can use it and put it in stereo on a remix or something.
You know, Vince, that Bella Chow song is a very political song for people who don't know it. But also for people who don't know, Jeremy played that song in every band he ever played in. So
that's
why we kind of chose that song.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So as you ladies may or may not know, I run the show like a benevolent dictator.
I do know.
I consider myself a fascist, and at some times I have to exert my authority.
But what's really funny is when you put yourself in timeout.
Yeah.
Because that happened last time, and I was left alone for 2 minutes.
Oh, my God.
He's like, oh, I have to put myself in timeout. He's so one of his forbidden phrases. And I was like, what am I going to do? I'm the only caller.
Yeah, I was like, sorry, dude. It's the rules, bro.
At least you're consistent, though, so it's fine.
Yeah, hey, I'm subject to my own infractions. I'll take the blame. You know, I institute the rules. I try to equally enforce. I've actually had some really serious guests that I have interrupted during like serious discussions to say, I'm sorry, I hate to do this, but you said at the end of the day. I'm sorry about this, Mr. James Earl Jones, you're going to have to go on a timeout for 2 minutes, if you don't mind. You've been a great guest so far. It kind of feels odd. Well, no, I haven't had James Earl Jones, but I've had some serious shows with some serious people, dude. Like, I had, you know that guy, Sergeant Biggs, who's friends with Michael Hastings, the journalist who died?
Yeah.
I had him on my show. A very serious guy, dude. Very serious guy. We, you know, it was a very serious show. And in the middle, he said, like, end of the day or something. I gave him time out, and I felt really bad. Everybody gave me a lot of shit. And he took it like a man. He was just like, okay, whatever. You know, there's rules. Okay. So sometimes people, like, you know, if anything, it's a great thing to potentially break the ice or destroy an interview.
True.
Okay, so it looks like we're getting more callers now. Great. Okay, I got to give some people some timeouts. Let me do that real quick. I did see somebody scrolling. Yes, that was, of course, Actions. And yes, to get timeout for both of you guys, that would be Actions. And what was the other one? Guest. Yeah, Guest, too. There we go. Ba-doom, ba-doom. And we'll do the little number six. 666, baby. All right, so we're going to take we're all going to take a timeout. How about that? We got a half hour to go. We're going to come back. I'm going to figure out who these people on the line are. And and Homer Bouvier is going to pop in real quick in a minute, kid. So stick around for that. We're going to play another one of these. What's the name of this band again?
Dirty Surgeon Insurgency.
Okay. Okay. Here they are again with Ska Factory. Be right back.
Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Call in now, biatches, 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
Oh, yeah. Fico wants some of this. Fico, Nail, who else? Bring it on. Yeah, come with it now. Spico went for a hit. I took him out. All right, we're back. I got Sue. I got all shiny. But before we get back to talk, actually, we have a friend of Jeremy's waiting to talk in just a second. But before we get to him, let me really quick in check in with Homer Bouvier. Homer Bouvier, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Homer, what do you got?
Well, not a lot. I just want to comment on those trolls. I've actually got a bunch of those Toby Keith songs on my radio network a bunch of times, and yeah, those trolls are crazy. They've actually bombarded my show with a lot of stuff from Ghost and various other songs, like the Engineers song that Ghost always hates.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah, you know, when these kids do this, I'm like, hey, dudes, seriously, check it out. You don't need to troll me with Ghost sound bites. I got my own goddamn Ghost sound bites to control myself with. Right, I'm doing very good. Thank you very much. Right, go.
Barrel roll. Anyway.
So, anything else, Homer? You want to promote your show?
Yeah, we've actually got one show that one of my co-admins of UCAST is doing. It's on an alternative station this time because we don't have Pretium on our main one. It's Randomness with Robert Boner, and it's going to be on Thursday night, probably about 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, actually Eastern Daylight Time. That would be about 7 o'clock your time, Pacific Daylight Time, and I'm doing a show on Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. And you should expect some trolls because we get them a lot. It's kind of what makes our channel so popular is all trolls.
Yeah, well, I hear what you're saying, no doubt about it. Thanks for the call, Homer. Appreciate it. I've been doing this for 4 years now. I've seen it all. I've been hit by so many troll crews and individual trolls. It's just not even worth like rehashing. It's stupid. I have a lot of good archives. Luckily, though, I haven't received the punishment that that guy Ghost used to get. But appreciate the call. I now want to bring on Java. Java, you're on live with Sue and All Shiny.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Sue, how's it going?
I know that voice. Java.
Hey, how's it going, Sue? How are
Hi,
you?
Babe. How are you?
Yeah, all good.
I'm all good knowing you're here.
I'm trying to write my letter, but every time I do, it just turns into a drunken rant about Preska, and that really doesn't seem very supportive. So I'm trying to muster together something that doesn't sound like a rant against Preska. But
well, you know what you could do? You could write two letters, one to send and one to keep. Just make sure you're sober enough and send the right one.
Yeah,
like that.
Probably good. But that's, I was going to say, as far as this case is concerned, that's always kind of been my hope, is that after sentencing, that maybe at some point we can find an attorney with really large testicles that would be willing to actually pursue that angle of a conflict of interest in this case.
You know, interestingly enough, I was told that when she denied the conflict of interest, that was an obvious conflict of interest, there was only a short amount of time to appeal her decision not to recuse herself, and after that period of time, you could not appeal her decision. And that appeal time expired in, like, it was sometime in December or January, something like that. It's a very short time. I think you've got, like, 14 days to appeal her decision not to recuse herself, even with that obvious conflict of interest.
Wow. Why?
High five!
I just never understood why no one really pursued that.
It's my understanding that it was Jeremy's decision not to pursue it. He felt that he was already disliked enough by the judge, and he did not want to continue to engage her or piss her off, for that matter.
Yeah, that's understandable.
that came right at the heels of the bail hearing, as you remember, Jabba, and how devastating that was to him, that bail hearing. So
yeah.
It was right after I came back from the bail hearing. I got back home on Wednesday night, and it was that Wednesday night that we found that conflict with the judge.
Yeah, I can understand the pressure, for sure.
I think a lot of these prisoners are put through enough pressure that they do everything they can. The government does everything they can to crack them, just like with Migs' case and with all of these other, the Cleveland kids, every bit of it. They're put under so much pressure that they take plea deals that they're not even guilty of crimes, and they accept plea deals to avoid life in prison or decades in prison, or in Barrett's case, 100 years in prison for sharing a link. That's my personal favorite.
Yeah. I personally, I think if Barrett gets 100 years for sharing a link, that KY should get 100 years for sharing that fucking horrible Johnny Cash video.
And here I thought I was going to get through the night without hearing that name.
Well, yeah.
All right, kids, check it out. We got another person to add to our stellar panel. We have our friend V. Kershaw in the building. Welcome, Vince.
Hello.
Hey, you too, and Vince.
Hi, Vince.
Now
which
we have
one?
Two Vinces. Yeah.
We call him Vert here because, you know, he used to go by Triv, and so you reversed it to Vert, and that's what he is in the chat room. So sorry if I gave away something there, but I just doxed
him.
Yeah,
you just
sorry.
Doxed me, bro.
Fuck, dude. Fuck.
Just
all right,
kidding.
You're just gonna have to give up with
him. Now. If he
fuck,
gets banned, dude. It's all your fault.
God damn it. You know what? I think I'm going to get out of here early. I'm just going to jump in the Lulz chopper and get out of here. Sorry, bro.
Hey, Vince, thanks for the mic check thing the other night. I'm glad
no
I didn't shit talk anyone too badly before I was told.
What's that? What do you mean?
She was in tiny chat, and he let her know that her mic was on.
I thought I had turned Tiny Chat off and walked away from it, and I was gabbing along, and all of a sudden, I heard a voice, and it's saying, "Sue, your mic is on." You had to be there. It really was funny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For someone who supports a hacktivist and has zero computer skills, that was just way over the edge for me that night. So Vince comes to Tiny Chat just to make sure I turn off my mic when I'm done.
Oh,
you
know what I always do? If I ever do Tiny Chat, I do Press to Talk. You can't go wrong with that.
I do the same, but yeah, no, I'd let you know because, yeah, I was getting a little dirty there.
Sorry.
So,
I guess you had to be there. It was one of those moments.
So, Vert, did you have anything else you wanted to add to what we were talking about either Hammond or Migs?
Oh, my God. I unfortunately never knew Migs, but now Hammond he is a fucking awesome guy. Like, I know I don't know, what, 4 or 5 months after I got taken, I know he was fighting before he got taken. So, no, he's an awesome dude, and mad props.
Awesome. Okay, it looks like we have Nigger Christ here who wants to weigh in on Hammond. Go ahead, Nigger Christ, you're on the air.
Hey, man, how it be?
I'm sorry, what does that mean?
Are you how you doing, to... man? What's up?
Aren't you supposed to... How come you're not saying Gucci? What's up with that? Did you lose that?
Nah, see, I heard this is a serious show, so I came on X Series, and I got a serious comment to make about this Hammond boy.
All right, go ahead, dude.
I've been following his case for a while, and all I got to say is that I hope that when he goes to jail, he gets raped like the dirty little hippie fuck he is. Let him aside, baby.
Well, there is that.
Yeah. Okay. Anything? That's it, I guess.
Another keep it guilty, man. Fun.
Okay. Do you want to hang on for final thoughts, or was that, is that
sure
your only
thing,
thought?
Man.
Okay, so that's all right. Hey, Nigger Christ, what can you say? He never ceases to amaze. He
well, there has to be some people on the planet that don't have intelligent thought, and it's nice to see it was delivered to all one person. Sorry, all shiny.
She's enjoying it. She's laughing.
She knows I have a big mouth. She's been dealing with it for long enough.
That's true.
I'm currently on a 7-day ban on Facebook, okay? It happens.
Ooh. Naughty, naughty girl.
I didn't do it. This time it wasn't my fault.
This time.
I'm sorry. Was that Java? It was. Were you trying to say something?
I just asked if maybe she pulled her penis out and her lawyers advised her to go to rehab.
It's a constant problem. Not with my penis. I don't have a penis. Wait a minute. Forget. Okay, look, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Go on with your final thought.
Oh, we're not quite yet to final thoughts, but we're getting there very quickly. We're getting dangerously close to being dangerously close
to that, Jabba.
To being finished with the show and doing the final thoughts, but Actually, before we get to the final thoughts, we should do a rehash just for anybody who came in the second half of the show for the information where people can help support Hammond as far as with the letter campaign, and also AllShiny, support network outreach for MIGS. Let's start with Sue, please.
Yeah, the information on how to get letters requesting leniency for Jeremy can be found on freejeremy.net. It can be found on Jay Lederman's blog spot. There's a template there. There's email addresses. There's fax numbers. There's physical addresses that letters can be mailed. And on Jay's, he's been kind enough to provide his Jabber to send emails to, and he will print them up and mail them to the lawyers. So there's many ways that you can send those letters off, and they would really be appreciated. And I think that Jeremy deserves those letters. If we can get those out, that would be great. We do have a deadline of the 15th, so technically I'd like to see them a couple days before so one doesn't get missed.
Cool. Right on. AllShiny, anything you want to add to either Hammond or Miggs as far as contact information, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, we update the NATO 5 blog with all the latest on them, including what Miggs has been going through. So that's NATO5support.wordpress.com. And then OpPenPal always has updates on. Lately, there's been a lot on Miggs as we've run these campaigns for him, but we also keep track of Hammond and a whole bunch of other defendants and incarcerated activists. So that's oppenpal.wordpress.com.
Sweet. All right, and wait, AllShiny, you said you were gonna write, you had a new write up on Miggs or something that's coming out soon.
Yeah, that was posted today. That was the one where we announced that he would only be staying one extra month instead of the three that they had decided.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Do you mind tweeting me that and I'll like retweet it or whatever?
I don't mind, but I can't do it while I'm talking on the phone to you.
Yeah, when the show's over. We're almost done. We're almost there. Cool. All right. Like I said, we are almost finished. So if anybody wants to get in a last-minute call, now is the time to do it. We're going to do final thoughts here in just a second. But if anybody has anything they'd like to add or ask of my two guests tonight, now's the time to do it. So with that said, I think we're going to start going around the horn here. Let's start our final thoughts with... let's just get out of... We're just going to get out of the way first. Nigger Christ, your final thoughts.
Yeah, hey, who said that to me earlier?
Said what?
Who said that? Call me stupid?
No, I didn't call you stupid. I said you didn't have a thought process in your head.
Okay, yeah, hey, Sue Crabtree. Fuck
yeah,
you. They're probably talking about your
Nigger
pussy
Christ,
when yes, they're calling you
good.
Sue Crabtree. They talk about all crabs you got when you got raped by niggas. I hope Jeremy Hammond break out of jail and rape you, you fat bitch. Fuck you, bitch. Blammer.
Wow. Dude. All right.
Well, there it
you.
Is.
I can't. I can only take so much. Nigger Christ, please. Please. Oh, so painful. And the thing that the worst thing about it is I hardly understand a word he says. He's like the worst wigger of all time. He's probably still talking nonstop right now on hold. Watch. He's probably still talking. Hey, Nigger Christ, are you there still there?
Nigga, I heard them say mute, all right? Now I'm going to fuck that bitch's ass. I don't care if you mute me. I don't care if that little bitch can sit there laughing while she's taking a black meat in the ass. God damn. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. God damn.
Okay. Appreciate the call tonight. Let's go next to... let's go to Vert. Vert, any final thoughts tonight?
Oh, as always, just... Yeah, Hammond rules. Migs, I don't know him. But, anybody that stands up for their fucking right to speak, go for it. And they were both fucking screwed by the feds. So, have a great night, and all shiny, Sue. Love you both.
I love you too, buddy.
Yeah, we do.
Aw. All right, thanks.
Great hug.
Thanks. Thanks, Vert. Appreciate the call. Next, final thoughts. Java, anything that you'd like to add before we finish?
Free Hammond, free MIGs, free the PayPals, free NATOs, free all political prisoners, fuck Sabu, and fuck KY. And that's all.
Nice.
Thanks, cool. All shiny. Final
yes. My final thoughts would be, a lot of times this work is frustrating and seems kind of hopeless because no matter what you do at the end of the day, don't put me in timeout. They're still all imprisoned, and you know, anything we do is just trying to make it somewhat easier on them. But I think through the process, we've spent 2 months now trying to defend Migs and make sure. They were talking about giving him a release date in 2015, and we wanted him out in November as he was scheduled. And through this whole process, we've seen how just showing that people are paying attention to him and that people are going to question his treatment is enough to make them, you know, have to backpedal and say, okay, you know, we can't keep him for an extra year. So how about 3 months? How about 1 month? And so it's actually possible to get results and any amount of time that we saved him from being in prison is a huge victory. So, you know, as much as it's very difficult work at times, there is quite a bit that you can do to kind of, you know, mitigate the damage that the whole Justice and Corrections Department due to our friends and activists in jail. So, there's hope.
Cool. Thank you again for coming on the show. As always, it's a pleasure. I can't wait till we do it again. Hopefully, next time you come back, Migs is out.
That would be awesome.
All right,
I already
cool.
cleared my schedule for mid-December to go drive downstate and pick him up. So...
Awesome. All right. And Sue, your final thoughts.
Well, I think I have to agree with All Shiny. This court, this jail support is very difficult. It's emotional on everyone, not just the prisoners. I know that their needs are being met as much as we can with books and letters and that type of support, but it is very difficult on the people that are out there supporting them. And we are getting down the final stretch of Jeremy's case into the sentencing phase, and after that we're going to have to move on to supporting him for what could be a decade of time, and that's a long time. We need the support. We're asking for the support, and I think in a lot of ways Jeremy deserves the support. He's been strong through the whole thing. He's done everything that we could ask of him. He's spent an inordinate amount of time in and out of the hole throughout the last year and a half, and he's a very strong person. So we'd like to get those letters. We are in need of those letters. And like I said, they may or may not do any good, but definitely not doing them won't do any good. So if anybody could send those letters, we would really appreciate it. And you can find that template on freejeremy.net or on Jay Lederman's blog. And please get those letters. If we can get them by the 13th, we would be really happy. And thanks for having me on, Vince.
Oh, right on. Yeah, no, you're welcome back anytime. In fact, you're welcome back when is it, November 15th?
Yes, his hearing is November 15th.
Yeah, anytime you're free after that to come on to recap, that would be awesome.
That'd be great. Thank you so much.
Cool. All right. And I have a question really quickly for the three of you, Sue, All Shiny, and Java. I ran out of Jeremy tracks. What kind of music was Jeremy into? What were some of the bands that he liked?
All Shiny. My understanding, he liked punk.
Yeah, I was going to say punk, like anything anti-government, probably.
So maybe like the Dead Kennedys or the Clash.
Yeah, I think
Dead Kennedys would definitely be a good one.
All right. Well, we're going to end then with the Dead Kennedys. Thank you again, Sue, All Shiny, Java. Excuse me. Sue, All Shiny, Java, Bert, Nigger Christ, and everybody else that called in. Thank you, those who tweeted tonight. I appreciate it. PayPal 14, Jay Pouchy, Porno Puppy, Free Hammond, Absalom, Jess Sicko, and Tortured 1221, also Arrested Anons, Eric Friesen, and Anonymous Video. All right, that's it. Thanks for coming out, everybody. Until next time, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/VinceInTheBay. Peace out, y'all.
Peace out. I won.
thank you very nice.